Please be seated. Would you agree with me that much of what we are taught in this life is to compare ourselves to others? Athletically, our team is always compared with the other teams in the league. Academically, our grades are always compared with the grades of the others in the class. Aesthetically, our looks are generally compared with those of others. And on we could go. We are taught to live lives in comparison with others, aren't we? On and on. Jesus, during his time on earth, set out to combat that kind of living. Jesus, in the two passages that we're going to consider, one this evening and, Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening, will address this matter of whether or not we're to live comparing ourselves to others. And so, the title of this evening's sermon is, Compared to Whom? If you haven't already turned to Luke chapter 18, do so please. And find verses 9 through 14. If you're using the Bible there in the pew, our passage begins on the bottom of page 1628. Listen to the Word of God. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come again to a familiar passage, help us to be encouraged and challenged in a fresh way as we consider this matter of with whom we're to compare ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus sets before us two people. The first is a Pharisee, the second, a publican. In Jesus' day, which one of these two men was regarded as better than the other? Certainly the Pharisee was, because he was given to obeying God. He was the religious person. The tax collector, the publican, was considered a chief sinner. Here we are comparing these two individuals moralistically, aren't we? This is the way the worldly people are taught to live. Actually, it's the way the worldly people live naturally. That is to say, those who are of the world live on a man-to-man level. What I'm calling horizontal living in Roman numeral 1. We may almost excuse worldly people for living that way because they know no better. And of course, we do want worldly people, men and women, to live a morally good life in this world so that it will go well for us. But how many times do we individually or congregationally or denominationally find ourselves primarily living on a horizontal level? We're caught up in wanting the authorities to enforce morally proper ways of life as an end in itself. Now, certainly, we want the civil magistrate to use the power of the sword such that he punishes evildoers and protects those who do right. But Jesus, in this passage, moves us away from moralistic living to what I'm calling vertical living, as demonstrated by the second character in the parable. So let's see what Jesus has to say about these two kinds of living. First, horizontal living. And as I've already said, when I speak of horizontal living, I'm talking about man-to-man living. Such living looks primarily at those around us to determine how well we are living. Are we keeping up with the so-called Joneses? Are we living up to someone or another's expectations? We want to be graded on a scale, not according to a set standard. The calculus class that I was taking when I was in Geneva College was a rigorous class, and the professor we had often talked well over our head. And I'll always remember the day that he returned a quiz. The highest grade was 54 out of 100. And I had a 27 in the upper 25% of the class. And we laughed. And then the professor said those dreadful words, "I'm not grading this one on a curve." As I already said, we understand why the world would want to live such a life. Why the world lives horizontally, eyes focused on our fellow human beings. But in this story, the one living horizontally is a Pharisee. A Pharisee is one who supposedly lives his life horizontally. A Pharisee is a religious person. He prays, "O God." His eyes are supposedly looking upward, vertically. He's the one who codified the law of God and dedicated himself to keeping that law. A Pharisee believed in the resurrection. A Pharisee believed in the authority of the 39 books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. his lifestyle, put those around him to shame. He was doing his best to exterminate those who were following the so-called way, who were following Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah. Talking about Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a genuine goody two sandals. This Pharisee had the audacity to say, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. And I give a tenth of all that I get. In modern parlance, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do. Oh God, I am worthy of your acceptance. Pharisees claimed to be living God's way, but they were really living with an eye on everyone around them, not with an eye on God. They were not living as Jesus would have us live. They lived man before man. And it's so easy to get caught up in such living. As I said, it comes naturally. During my senior year at Geneva College, I was trying to decide whether or not to attend Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia after graduation. I had the privilege of going there and visiting with Dr. Cornelius Van Til and learning about Westminster Seminary. But I had an opportunity to stay in the guest house. And there was a fellow living in that guest house that night as well. And we conversed with each other. He was on the edge of completing his PhD in mathematics at Harvard University. And the next morning, as I woke up and looked over at the desk there in the room, he was reading a Hebrew Bible for his devotions. A Hebrew Bible. Well, I was convinced that I wouldn't go to Westminster Seminary. There would be no curve in any class that I was where he was taking the same subject. You see how easy it is to live man to man. I didn't want to go to a school where the standard would be maintained. 100 meant 100. And if you didn't acquire 100, if it was a 54, that's your grade relative to 100. If it was a 27, that's your grade, not relative to 54, but relative to 100. It was into the third game of Woodbury High School's football team that we had won 28 consecutive games. We were the best. There was no one better. Until the fourth game, we played a team that was bigger than we were. We were in 1A, they were in 4A. Man to man living. If we know God through Jesus Christ, our living ought not to be horizontal. Our living must be vertical. In stark contrast with the Pharisee, Jesus brings the publican into the parable. And Jesus doesn't say the publican is a better person than the Pharisee. Jesus sets before us an individual who knows what it is to live vertically. Who knows what it is to hear our Creator God say, "Be perfect as I am perfect. Be holy as I am holy." In other words, as image bearers of me, live as I live. He has to be our standard of living. And so enters the publican. The one who was bankrupt morally. Or was he? We don't know what kind of publican he was. Certainly we understand that he was a Jew who was serving the Romans, and that was not something that was liked by the Jews. But what if he was a Robin Hood kind of publican? That is, he charged the Jews a just tax and extracted more from the Romans. There's where he got his profit. Would he be a bankrupt publican? But that would be horizontal living, wouldn't it? The publican was a person who lived radically differently than his culture. He lived man before God. Man before God. The Pharisee looked to God and invited God to look at him in comparison with those around him on a man-to-man basis. And when viewed that way, we always look pretty good. But the publican, he stood off at a distance. He would not even look up into heaven. But he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, the sinner." The definite article to is in the Greek text. He sets himself completely apart before the thrice holy God and he understands himself to be the sinner. Man before God. When we live that kind of life, when we live our lives focused on God, ultimately, then we understand ourselves aright. Sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God. Sinners who are made saints because of Jesus and His righteousness. And so we will never think more highly of ourselves than those around us. We will always be concerned for the other's well-being. And not fundamentally physically, though indeed we pray for one another's physical well-being. But in the deepest recesses of our prayers, we're praying for one another to be more and more and more conformed to Jesus Christ, living more and more and more Godward than manward. God doesn't accept us because of who we are. God accepts us because of who He is. And who He makes us to be in the Beloved. Oh God, don't deal with me as I deserve to be dealt with. Be merciful to me, the sinner. And it's when we have that grace of God in our lives that enables us to take our eyes off those around us and want to be compared with those around us in order to have a right relationship with God and look squarely at who He is and understand therefore that we're altogether undone as sinners, then we can appreciate, I tell you, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so why are the letters of the New Testament addressed to saints? Because we have, by the grace of God, understood ourselves to be publicans. And we've cried out in humility for mercy, and we've been exalted to sainthood. Because we've stopped trying to be holy in ourselves in comparison with man. And we've begun to understand that our holiness can only come to us through Jesus Christ and the righteousness that is His that is imputed to us when we cry out for mercy. And then He calls us saints. I've used the illustration before. But I believe it's a worthwhile illustration every time I hear it, because I play the CD over and over again, of Rabbi Zacharias, who tells the story of the two brothers. The two brothers who lived the most debauched of lives that one can imagine two brothers could live. They were known in the community for their debauchery. And suddenly one day one of the brothers dies. And the surviving brother wants to have a funeral for his brother, and he goes and finds the minister. Would you please have the funeral service for my brother? Well, I don't know. I'll pay you a hefty sum of money. And all the who's who of the community will be there. The only thing you have to do is you have to promise to refer to my brother as a saint. Remember the story? The minister says, I'll do it. Comes time for the funeral. The minister's up delivering the homily. And as Ravi says it, he's waxing eloquent. The man you see lying here in this casket was the rottenest, debauched person in the world. He lived the most heinous life, full of sin and iniquity. He was the evilest doer I ever knew. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. Compared to whom? And Ravi talked about when he shared that in the Billy Graham crusade, that there wasn't a person there who wasn't bent over laughing, but they also got the point. If we ever think that a life lived horizontally will be lived such that we'll make it to heaven, we are most to be pitied. But we who live our lives vertically, having God as our standard, we are most exalted. Because when we come begging for mercy and laying hold of Jesus by faith, we become the saints of God. And we go forth in His forgiving love and in His Son's righteousness. And we can't help but minister that love to those who live lives horizontally. We want to point those who are living lives horizontally to God in Jesus Christ, that they might come to the same posture that by God's grace we are brought to. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you understand the ramifications of that for our lives individually, for our lives within our families, for our lives within our churches, and yes, for our lives in the marketplace and the political arena. When we get our eyes focused on God and call people to look to Him, then our culture will be transformed. Not by man-to-man changes, but by man-to-God changes. Jesus sets on the stage the Pharisee and the publican. Not to determine which one's better, but to tell us what happens when God's grace changes the perspective of an individual. I don't think there's anyone in this room who hasn't had that experience. May we live out that experience. Day after day after day. Compared to whom? Compared to God. And when we're in Him, we are saints, holy ones, set apart from that old way of man-to-man living. So that we can become so heavenly minded that we are of inestimable value on earth. Amen. And amen. Father in heaven, as we've labored our way through this familiar passage, remind us afresh of the posture of our living. So that we might indeed be those who live vertically and walk horizontally. To the praise and glory of your great name, because of the justification that we have in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith. Amen.